Going through the book of Proverbs, and the Lord has brought us to the 18th chapter now. One verse tonight, Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll read verse 14. I'll talk fast, you listen fast. Amen. Notice Proverbs 18 and verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Let's read that together when I say begin. Ready? Begin. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, that you've left us here with the truth. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. Lord, as I preach your word tonight, I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. Lord, we recognize that we need thee, that without you we can do nothing. And so please use this message to bring glory to yourself, and Lord, to help us all in this area that every single one of us have to deal with at one time or another, this idea of a wounded spirit. And so, Lord, I commit the message to thee and ask you to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On February 12, 2020, the Cleveland Clinic published an article that caught my attention. I was reading about it, and the article was entitled, Can You Die of a Broken Heart and Other Emotional Questions? Had a subtitle that said this, The Effects of Grief, Anger, Fear, and Depression on the Heart. The article reads this, most of us have experienced some sort of heartbreak before. Now, this is a secular article. Whether it's a breakup or the passing of a beloved grandparent or pet, these events can leave us feeling heart-wrenched and even physically sick with grief. Many people have wondered before, is it possible to die of a broken heart? And although the idea seems far-fetched and like it's straight out of a romantic movie or book, experts say it could happen. And they say it does happen. They say it's called broken heart syndrome, also called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Now, I got that wrong, so somebody will correct me later. But anyway, it says it can happen when an extremely emotional or traumatic event triggers a surge of stress hormones. These hormones can put you in short-term heart failure, which can be life-threatening. Strong negative emotions like depression, anger, and fear have also been linked to heart disease. Now, it's true. Now, there's been many cases throughout history that documents that the possibility of dying of a broken heart, dying of having that wounded spirit, we'll talk about here in a moment. There was an English couple, a couple from England named George and Pat Pittman, one of many stories I came across. They had been married for 55 years. They first met on a blind date. I was waiting for that one. My wife and I met on a blind date. Amen. How many knew that my wife and I met on a blind date? Well, now you know, we did. Yep. She was blind. That's why she went out with me. Amen. Anyway, they met on a blind date. They married on Valentine's Day in 1959. Again, stayed married for 55 years. After Pat, the wife, became ill and was admitted to the hospital, George refused to leave her side. And in her final moments, he knew she was passing. He was heart-wrenched. He whispered the words in her ears, quote, close your eyes, I'm coming with you. 21 hours later, George himself passed away. Doctor said there was nothing wrong with him, but he had a broken heart. Now, I said all that to say this, that the Bible makes it very clear that there is a direct connection between the spiritual health of a person and their physical health. I'm not necessarily talking about salvation here. We'll get to that here in a little bit. In other words, the one affects the other. Amen. The way you are, your spirit actually affects your body. Right. Now, there's many verses that claim this or that state this, really. For example, Proverbs 17:22, look across the page. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Right.
And it does. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Then again in our text, notice how it begins. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So in other words, when someone is strong in spirit, when someone is healthy spiritually, it will have an effect on his physical body in a positive way and in a good way. But then the antithesis of that, the opposite is true as well. If they are weak in spirit, if they are unhealthy in spirit, that affects the body in a negative way. Now again, notice our text. I'll read it again. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, notice, who can bear?
Right.
So our text speaks of someone who has a wounded spirit. In other words, we could say an unhealthy spirit. They are weak in spirit. And it asks the question, if you have that, who can bear it?
Right.
Well, the obvious answer is nobody can.
Amen.
So tonight I want to preach on that subject, and that is here on the title of your sheet, The Dangers of Living with a Wounded Spirit. You know, there are many Christians that sit in our pews week after week and service after service with wounded spirits. They do. They attend church. Yes, they're here. They listen to sermons. They may even nod their head in agreement. And outwardly, it would appear like nothing is wrong. They come into church. They say hello to people. They put on the smile. But inside, they're dying. They're hurting. In a way, they're wasting away because their spirits are wounded. They are living with a wounded spirit. They've lost their zeal for the things of God. They've lost their burden for others, burden for souls, a concern for others. They lost their joy in the Lord. And they may have a song on their lips. They may open up the hymn book and sing all the words, but there is no song in their heart. It's all a front because they're living with a wounded spirit. Why? What causes that? First of all, what is it? And what causes it? And how do we deal with this wounded spirit biblically? Well, hopefully we'll find out tonight. Let's consider, number one, if you'd write this down, the reality of a wounded spirit. Do you know it is possible for the strongest of Christians to have a wounded spirit?
Right.
To have to deal with this wounded spirit. For example, I think of someone like Elijah. In my opinion, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. You remember the story right after that great victory on Mount Carmel, and he was threatened by Jezebel. Do you remember what happened to him? He ran off and hid. His spirit was wounded. He said, he requested for himself that he might die. And he said to God, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life.
Right.
For I am not better than my fathers." What's going on with this man? He's dealing with a wounded spirit. Something happened to his spirit.
Right.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, he said in one of his sermons, quote, "I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to." He was a man that had to deal with that wounded spirit again and again. I like what commentator Charles Bridges writes. He writes, "The most powerful minds are easily vulnerable," and they are. If you and I think we're on a mountaintop all the time, beware lest you fall soon.
Because
we're going to have to sooner or later deal with a wounded spirit. He writes, "Even Sir Isaac Newton, the brilliant Christian man who was a scientist, who was endowed with an intellectual strength which has unbarred the strongholds of the universe, but was characterized by an unbroken composure in his middle life and was a prey to mental depression that shook him to the very core." Something happened in his heart and in his spirit that shook him to the core. And by the way, we all go through that. At one time or another, If you say, I have not, well, get ready. It's going to come sooner or later because of the world that we live in. And we all go through times that we struggle with this wounded, being wounded, but we cannot live that way.
Amen.
We cannot live with a wounded spirit. We cannot walk around this earth as believers with a wounded spirit. We must not, and we cannot, and we should not. So what exactly is a wounded spirit? Well, letter A, write this down. The condition of a wounded spirit. Proverbs 18:14, our verse, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Notice it's a small s. The word spirit here is used two times in this verse, talking about the spirit of a man and a wounded spirit. It is a Hebrew word, ruach, which means in the context of this verse, it means this. It's talking about our feelings. It's talking about our emotions. It's talking about what's going on in our minds and in our hearts. And notice the first part of this verse tells us that the spirit of man is able to sustain his infirmity. That's talking about the ability of a strong spirit. In other words, when our spirit is what it ought to be, when we deal with the problems that God allows in our lives, when we deal with those things biblically and properly, the way that God wants us to deal with them, by faith and in His strength, understand, then we will be able to face anything that comes at us in this life. Courage, with faith, with strength, with determination, and have the peace and joy that God wants us to have. And we will be stronger through it, and God will get glory through it. That's the possibility if we have the right kind of spirit. But then a wounded spirit, well, that's the exact opposite. A wounded spirit is when we allow our spirit, and notice I used the word carefully, allow. We allow our spirit, we allow our feelings to get hurt, to get crushed. To get beat down, if you will. And we stay that way. We stay in this hole, if you will, of a wounded spirit. Understand, if we live in that condition, and many Christians do, our Christian life will be a miserable existence. Absolutely miserable. And no Christian should live this way. None of us should walk around with a wounded spirit. Why is that? Because we don't have to. And I'll get into that in a moment here. So we see the condition of a wounded spirit. And notice, letter B, write this down, the characteristics of a wounded spirit. You know, it's not hard to get our feelings hurt. I'll say that again. It's not hard to get our feelings hurt. Just hang out here a little bit. You'll get it sooner or later from somebody. What are some of the marks of someone that has a wounded spirit? What's a mark of somebody who's walking around with their feelings hurt and so forth? You see, a person that lives and walks around with a wounded spirit has no joy.
Right.
They have no peace. They lose their desire to serve God. If you've been hurt by something and you allow that hurt to affect your spirit, that's how you're going to be. That's how I'm going to be. And we all fight this, by the way.
Right.
Someone with a wounded spirit is often negative. Negative about everything. Critical about everything. They're often complainers. They walk around often with a chip on their shoulder. Sometimes they can even get angry or be irritable or short-fused. They can be discouraged. They can be depressed. Often someone with a wounded spirit walks around wanting a pity party from everyone. They want attention. Every conversation's about them, their problems, what they're going through, their aches and their pains. Why do they act that? Because they have a wounded spirit. They're hurt.
Right.
And they want everybody else to know about it. Amen. You know, I was thinking Cain is a pretty good example of someone that had a wounded spirit. If you remember when God punished him, what he said in Genesis 4:13, the Bible says, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. The truth is, it's not greater than he could bear.
Right. Amen.
That was God's chastisement for what he did.
Right.
But he had that wounded spirit walking around with his lip to the ground, his head hanging down. I just can't bear this. Oh, yes, he could have.
Right. Amen.
You know, Job momentarily went through this as well, if you remember what he said in Job chapter 3 and verse 1. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He couldn't deal with his circumstances there for a while. And so he cursed the day, and Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man-child conceived." He's walking around for a while there saying, "I wish I were never born." What's the matter with him? He has a wounded spirit.
Right.
And those things can happen to us as well.
Amen.
You see, Christians that live with a wounded spirit, often they stop coming to church.
Right.
They just start missing and they just don't want to be here. They stop speaking to people that they're upset with. Some will even leave the church. Many that have a wounded spirit say, "What's the use? I'm not going to serve." They give up their ministry. They stop winning souls. They drift out of things, take a back seat to everything in the church. And they feel justified in doing so because, hey, they've been hurt. My spirit's wounded, and I'm not doing anything for that place. And I ask you something, does that describe you? Would you say you have a wounded spirit? Do you have one? That's a reality we all have to deal with.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the reality of a wounded spirit. Number two, I want you to notice a reason for a wounded spirit. I remember when my wife and I first got saved, and you know, at the beginning there, we were on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine, and but then I realized life still happens when you're saved.
Amen. Amen.
People are still people when you're saved,
right. And
over time you learn that. You see, Christians, because we're saved, we're not immune to things that have the potential in resulting in having a wounded spirit. This world is filled with sin.
Amen.
Christians have old natures. The world is filled with suffering, and we have trials, and we have conflicts and difficulties. And the Lord Jesus Christ warned us of this. He warned his disciples of it, and he warned us of it as well. He said in Luke 17:1, "It is impossible, but that offenses will come." If you think you're going to spend any amount of time in a church and not be offended, if you will, or somebody wound your spirit or do something against you, sin against you, you're wrong. It's going to happen because we're people. Paul said in Acts 14:22, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." This journey of life is a difficult thing. We have to deal with people. You say, "Well, it'd be great if there weren't people." Yeah, but life is people. And the ministry is people.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 3:3, "That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto."
Amen.
There's going to be times when someone sins against you. You see, this life is filled with both challenges and with changes that if we're not careful could result in us getting our feelings hurt and walking around with a wounded spirit. You better be careful. We have to deal with things. A lot of things can wound your spirit, by the way. It's not just somebody sinning against you. You could feel hurt because you lost a loved one. Wounded in your spirit because something happened that you didn't expect. Maybe the loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, or the loss of a close friend. You may be dealing with an ongoing health condition that you didn't expect. You thought, "Well, I feel good, and I hope I feel good till I leave this earth." Well, it's not happening that way. And you have something that is there you got to deal with every day you get up.
Right.
The aging process, that's challenging as well, isn't it? And all of God's elderly saints said amen.
Amen.
That body that used to get up in the morning feeling awesome, right? Doesn't do that anymore. And you start looking different. And you start, things start, I just won't go there. Forget about that. Then there's unexpected events. I mean, your car breaks down, you know, all kinds of things we could say. And then the people issue. People disappoint you. People may sin against you. They may talk about you. They may misunderstand you. There may be a disagreement between you and someone else. Maybe life just, and this is for all of us, life doesn't end up the way we think it would. If we would have planned it out years ago, we would have thought, well, something. It changes for all of us.
Right.
Amen.
And then we have ourselves.
Amen.
Just disappointing ourselves.
Right.
You see, all those things, if we're not careful, we can allow them to cause in us a wounded spirit.
Right.
But here's probably one of the most important statements I'm going to make tonight. A wounded spirit is not the result of those types of events. A wounded spirit is the result of us not dealing biblically with those types of events. You see, we think, well, I'm going to stop all those things from happening. I'm going to fix those people. Yeah, no, you're not. Things are still going to happen, but you have to, and I have to deal with those events biblically in order to not live and walk around with a wounded spirit.
Amen.
You see, when I don't deal biblically with unexpected events or trials that God allows or conflicts or the infirmities that God gives me, then I'm going to walk around with my head hanging down, just all wounded in my spirit. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
And if we stay in that condition, we're going to have a miserable Christian life. But the only one we can blame is not what happened out there. The only one we can blame is ourselves.
Amen.
Because we're not dealing with what God allowed in our lives biblically.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the reality of a wounded spirit. We see, number two, the reason for a wounded spirit. And then thirdly, number three, the remedy for a wounded spirit. You see, the condition of our spirit is a matter of choice. You say, oh, no, I can't help it. Yes, you can.
Amen.
You and I can help the kind of spirit we have. The condition of our spirit is the product of our thinking.
Right.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
And there's one thing that is necessary as you and I deal with things, tragedies in life, events in life, unexpected things, all those things and more that I mentioned a few moments ago. And there's only one thing that's necessary to prevent living with a wounded spirit or repair a wounded spirit that I have. And that is this: faith.
Good.
Faith in God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that's just some cliche. No, it's not.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Christian life is to be lived by faith. And if we don't see these events that happen all around us and the attacks on us, if you will, by others or the unexpected things through the mind of the Bible, we're going to walk around here with a wounded spirit. And some of you are. There's a faith of, number one, or letter A, salvation.
Praise the Lord.
That's where it begins.
Amen.
You can't understand God. You can't understand life without being saved.
Amen.
You have a warped view of life unless you're born again. You cannot know God. You cannot understand God. You cannot understand how God works without being saved.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And by that, I mean in application, by faith, we can't see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We can't see how God works. Yes, I understand we can't get to heaven, but we can't see the kingdom of God as well. It'll be life will be confusing if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All of us would walk around here with a wounded spirit if we weren't saved.
Right.
So that's the beginning,
good.
But that's not the end.
Amen.
So it's faith. There's a faith of salvation, but then secondly, there is a faith of surrender.
Praise the Lord.
Here's what I mean. You know the verse. Excuse me, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, what do you mean by that? Why do I need surrender in order to prevent myself from having a wounded spirit? Here's why. Surrender is when you and I truly yield our lives to Him.
Amen.
And I wonder sometimes if we truly understand what that means.
Right.
It means we're saying to God, God, not my will, but your will. Not what I want, but whatever you want. I'm going to allow you to have your will and your way in my life. I'm going to let you dictate the path of my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And you take your hands off the steering wheel.
Praise Jesus.
And understand that when I allow God, truly allow God to do that, to do whatever he wants with my life,
Amen.
And bring whatever he wants into my life, then I'm surrendered to him. But then when I'm surrendered, I also understand that what he's brought into my life is something that he has ordained.
Right.
Or he has allowed.
Amen.
Even stuff I may not particularly like.
Right.
So there's the faith of salvation, there's the faith of surrender, and then thirdly, there's the faith of spiritual maturity. Now here's what I mean. Hebrews 10:38 says this, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." You see, Christian maturity, spiritual maturity, is not measured chronologically. It's not measured in years. A lot of people think that. Well, I've been saved for 50 years. That's great. 60, 70, that's great. But it has nothing to do with your spiritual maturity.
Amen.
You could be saved a relatively small amount of time and be spiritually mature if you've grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, more so than somebody that has been saved for 50 years that has not.
Right.
And so spiritual maturity is measured by our obedience and our behavior. And one of the marks of spiritual maturity is when I get to the place that I realize this, that God loves me, that God knows what is best for me, and that everything that God allows in my life, everything, every circumstance, every situation, everything that I would not have chosen for myself, when I get to the place that I understand every sickness, every illness, all of that, God has allowed or ordained in my life for my good and for His glory.
Amen.
And it's when I see life that way.
Right.
And when I see life that way, I won't have a wounded spirit when something I consider to be bad happens to me. Because I'll understand that this is the will of God for me,
Amen.
For my good, and for His glory.
Praise the Lord.
You see, living with a wounded spirit is a work of the flesh.
Right.
That's what it is. And it always reflects spiritual immaturity. Somebody who walks around all wounded and hurt because this happened to them and this happened to them and they're complaining about everything that happens in their life. Understand that is a mark of spiritual immaturity.
Amen.
Because spiritual Christians don't allow their feelings to remain hurt. Yes, something hurtful may come, but I see it from the eyes of God or in the eyes of God.
Amen.
And I see it biblically and I deal with it right. And I don't walk around with a wounded spirit. I don't wallow in that kind of folly. And yes, there are things that happen in this life to all of us that are hard to deal with. There's disappointments. There's things that are unfair. There are things that we wish were different. And it does hurt when those things happen. When a loved one dies, it does hurt. When I'm going or someone's going through health problems, yes, that does hurt. It's hard to be sinned against. It's hard to be misunderstood. Understood because life doesn't turn out the way that we think. But the mature Christian understands that God has a plan through all this.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is doing this for a reason.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. And He doesn't walk around with a wounded spirit.
Right.
He trusts God.
Praise the Lord.
And He stays faithful. Despite the hurt that's thrown at them. Listen, I'm not trying this evening to minimize difficulties or call you a big baby if something happens to you because hurts do hurt.
Amen.
But we cannot live and walk around with a wounded spirit.
Right.
it does no good for the cause of Christ. It does no good for the work of God. And it does no good for yourself.
Amen.
And you're missing what God is trying to do in your life through the events that he allows.
Right.
Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, a couple of verses I want you to see. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 19. We read, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God."
Amen.
In other words, if I'm wronged and I'm hurt and I walk around with a wounded spirit and I live that way because of what happened to me, that is not giving glory to God.
Right. Amen.
It is when I see that event as ordained of God and something that God has put in my life to make me better, not bitter.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Then I'll get over it.
Good.
And not walk around wounded.
Amen.
One more verse. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
Amen.
Notice verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations," Paul, of course, speaking, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul was given something he didn't like.
Right.
A thorn in the flesh. There's a lot of debate as to what it is. I believe it was some sort of eye infirmity, according to Galatians. But he had that. And notice for this thing in verse 8, "I besought the Lord thrice." Yes, he didn't like it. Why? "That it might depart from me. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away." "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee."
Amen.
"For my strength is made perfect in weakness."
Praise.
"So I walked away with a wounded spirit." Is that what it says? No. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake.
Amen.
For when I am weak," notice, "then I am strong."
Amen.
So I ask you tonight, simple question. Have you been hurt? Have you been spoken against? Has somebody falsely accused you? Join the club. Join the club. What are you going to do? Walk around with your lip to the ground? Have a wounded spirit? Are you going to say, "All right, Lord, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I trust it's from you, and I pray that whatever you're trying to do in my heart and my life, I will yield to that."
Praise
and
the Lord.
Go on to
Amen.
Serve God. Don't quit on God. Cast your care upon him,
right,
for he careth for you. I want to read one last verse. You don't have to go there. Genesis chapter 44. I was thinking of somebody who had for many years a wounded spirit, a man by the name of Jacob. I think you know his name. If you remember when Joseph was carried away and taken away, in Genesis 44 and verse 30, we read, "Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father and the lad be not with us." Notice, seeing, talking about Joseph and Jacob, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. "It shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave." Jacob's life was so wrapped up into his boy that when he was taken away, he didn't want to live any longer.
Right.
And he walked around that way instead of understanding that God had a much greater plan.
Amen.
Than
Praise
he
God.
Ever imagined. Instead of responding with a wounded spirit, he should have responded by faith. So I ask you tonight, are you walking around with a wounded spirit? Got a chip on your shoulder about something? Life isn't going your way. Things are difficult. Someone doesn't like you. Someone said something about you. Someone posted something about you. Maybe tonight you should give it to God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Trust that God's working in that situation.
Praise the Lord.
And walk out of here not with a wounded spirit.
Right.
With a healthy spirit.
Amen.
That trusts God and lives for God.
Praise
no matter
Lord.
What's going on around
Amen.
Us. Amen.